First Chronicles 21, I'd like to begin reading in verse number 14. We'll read several verses of Scripture together and then give you the context of where we are at in our Bible. But let's just jump in verse number 14. The Bible says, "So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, It is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued." David's finding out a real important lesson in life, and that is sometimes your sin does not just affect you. Sometimes your disobedience affects those around you as well. Mom and Daddy, your disobedience to God doesn't just carry ramifications on your life. It can carry harmful ramifications on your children's life tonight. And that's what David's finding out here. Verse number 18, "Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. And lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering." I love what Ornan says at the end of verse 23. I want you to see it. Don't miss it tonight. Ornan says, I give it all. And King David said to Ornan, Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I'll not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold beweight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. I want you to notice verse number 23 with me. Ornan says at the beginning of the verse, he tells David, Take it to thee. He says in the middle of verse 23, Lo, I give thee. And he gets so carried away with this proposition of letting everything go that he says at the end of verse 23, I give it all. Tonight, I would like to preach on the subject to your heart on I surrender all. I surrender all. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. Here we find in our story that David has gotten on the wrong side of the Lord tonight. The reason why David has gotten and drawn the anger of the Lord in his life and on Israel is because David has got it in his mind that he wants to number his armies. He wants to number the people. Now, David's not doing this like he did it in other times, younger in his days, to simply see how many military men he's got so that way he can go fight his battles or his wars. He's not even doing it like they did when they came up out of the land of Egypt back in the book of Numbers. David has more military men than any army in the world at this time could possibly hope to conquer him with. David's not doing this for strategic purposes, Brother Daniel. David is simply doing this so he can stick his fingers in his proverbial suspender straps, poke his chest out and say, look what I got. I got something ain't nobody else got. It is the sin of pride. God hates the sin of pride. It stinks and reeks in the nostrils of God. The reason why God loved David so much, I believe, is because David stayed little in his own sight for most of his ministry, and God stayed big in David's sight. This is one of the unfortunate times in David's life where he becomes too big for his own britches, and God has to put him in his place. And we find that the servant of God comes and he says, David, the Lord's upset. And God's going to let you pick your own poison, David. God's going to let you choose what it is that he does to you. What do you want? You want famine? You want the sword? You want pestilence? You choose, and God will let you pick what happens to you. And I like what David says. David said, I'm not going to choose. He said, let me now fall into the hands of the Lord, for great is his mercies upon us. Can I say this tonight at the onset of the message? Falling ain't so bad. It just depends on where you land. David said, I'm falling, but I'm going to fall in the right spot. I'm going to fall into the hands of the Lord tonight. Hey, falling ain't so bad. It just depends on where you land this evening. Make sure if you do fall, some people fall and they fall out of church. Some people fall, they fall out of their Bible. Some people fall, they fall out their prayer closet. If you're going to fall, make sure you fall into the Lord and not away from the Lord tonight. And here in the text, we find the Lord starts destroying. 70,000 men pay the price for David's sin. He's not really the character I'm keying in on tonight. It's this little unknown character that enters the story. He may be little known to you tonight. By the time the message is over, that we are all well acquainted with this man called Ornan the Jebusite. He's only mentioned three times in the King James Bible. He's mentioned over in 2 Samuel 23 where the story is replicated. Over there he is called Arona the Jebusite. He's mentioned here in 1 Chronicles 21, and he's mentioned in one more verse of Scripture tonight. This man enters the story stage right, and he is really what changes the narrative of the entire story. He shows up, and he's not looking to get nothing. He's looking to give something tonight. This man shows up. He's not asking for anything. He's not wanting anything. He's just wanting to give everything he's got so the presence of God can once again land on his people, so the power of God can once again stay in this place and the judgment of God can be diverted. Can I say he stands this evening as a picture, as a symbol, as a representative of what every blood-bought child of God in the building tonight should desire their life to be? And that is a life that says, God, I give it all to you. Lord, I surrender it all to you. Everything I've got, it's all yours tonight. My life, my dreams, my hopes, my future, my car, my cash, my clothes, my career, my wife, my husband, my children, everything I am, God, it's all yours. You can have it. Be glorified in every facet of my life tonight. I like what Ornan does, Preacher Foster. Ornan shows up and he says, King, I ain't got much to give. I just got a little piece of dirt. But if you want my piece of dirt, you can have my piece of dirt tonight. It ain't much. It's just a little threshing floor. But King, if you want my piece of dirt, it's all yours tonight. Can I remind you, that's all you've got? That's all I've got? They sung it last night. We're just a speck of dust. We ain't nothing but dirt tonight. You look at that old dust ball. The Bible said man was formed from the dirt and the dust of the ground tonight. Don't get too haughty about who or what you think you are this evening. I mean, the truth is you ain't nothing but dirt. You come from the dirt, you're going back to the dirt one day if Jesus don't come get us out of here. Somebody said one time that they weighed out a normal average man's body weight, about 170 pounds, and then weighed that out in dirt. How much money would about 170 pounds worth of dirt be? And it ain't but about worth 16 or 17 cents. You ain't worth about 16, 17 cents tonight. You realize the dress you wearing, sister, is worth more than what's in it tonight. The shoes that's on your feet, brother, is worth more than the feet that's in them. But yet there's a God in heaven that looks down at this little bit of dirt, and he says, I want that, and I value that, and I gave everything for that, and that's really what I want tonight. I like Ornan. He doesn't just say, King, you can have my dirt. He says, King, you can have everything that comes across my dirt tonight too. Here in the text, he didn't just give him the dirt. He said, I give you the oxen, I give you the threshing instruments, the wood, the wheat. He said, everything that's on my piece of dirt, you can have that too. You see a lot of Christians say things like this: oh, I want the Lord to have my life and use my life. He can have it. But when it gets really down, cutting the rubber where it meets the road, does he have everything that's on your dirt too? Does he have the music you listen to? Does he have the friends you hang out with? Does he have the clothes you wear? Does he have your wallet? Does he have your checkbook? I mean, he don't just want your dirt. He wants everything that lands on your piece of dirt tonight. He wants it all this evening. I read a story some time ago. They said at the end of World War II in the Pacific Theater, General Douglas MacArthur had dropped them two A-bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and the Japanese Imperial Army was surrendering.